If you were not here last week, we had a visiting speaker, and he started on a series that he did in St. Thomas, right? Yeah. I'm going to do the second part of that message. All right? We're going to take it a little deeper. Are you guys ready?
Yes,
all right. Let's pray. Heavenly King, we want to thank you so much for what you've done for us today. Giving us a chance to walk into your presence with praise on our lips and thanksgiving on our hearts. God, I pray that as you speak to our hearts, oh God, help us, oh God, to be obedient unto your word. Refresh our hearts and help us to know the why we are here. We thank you so much for what you're about to do. I pray that Holy Spirit, you take control over everything that we are going to do today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so he talked about 1 Corinthians 13, the famous scripture on love, and talked about how these things that the Bible tells us to do are very difficult things. It's like going to the gym, you know, and, you know, working out. You know, some of us, like me, will pay gym membership and will never show up, you know. But, you know, spiritual gym. Yeah. You know, but we don't have to do that with our spiritual gym, you know, because that gym is always with us. So today we're going to continue. The title last week was Living in Love. So this is Living in Love Part 2. And the title is Dwelling in the Shelter of the Almighty. Amen? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting from verse 4. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. He spoke about that last week. This is what we're going to talk about today. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Honestly, you can hold on to this scripture for the rest of your life. And every single time, you will feel like you need to do more. So we are going back to the gym today. But today, we are going to the gym for a different reason. You know, for some of us who are not naturally athletic and, you know, we don't like the gym very much, you need to give us a good reason for us to go into the gym and enjoy being there. So now, I'm going to talk about the enjoyment of being in that gym, okay, and working out. Nobody should hold me to this, to go to the gym, none of that. Okay, I'm talking about spiritual gym. First, commitment is the goal, not happiness. Commitment is the goal, not happiness. It says that love does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud. Think about it. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:6 before I tell you what I'm thinking. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. Envy, boasting, and pride. These are all things that can be found in a self-centered person. Somebody who cannot think about nobody else but themselves. Envy is looking at what somebody else has and craving for that. You understand what I'm saying? There are so many ways that we envy. We envy other people's jobs. We envy other people's relationship with God. We envy other people's marriages. We envy other people's cars. We envy a lot of things. Envying is wanting what someone else has. And you know what that does to your mind? It shuts down your mind and it blinds you to the blessings that God has given to you. Okay? You've been living your life and God has blessed you so much. But because your blessings are here and you're looking there, you become ungrateful. Because you don't see what you have. Your husband, in your mind, is all jacked up. Because you're looking at somebody else's husband. And then you go and hang out with them and find out that the husband doesn't cook, but your husband cooks all the time. You're like, oh man, you are awesome. You know, John Bean taught me something one day. He said, look, if you're struggling in a marriage, get with another couple and have a conversation. You realize how good your marriage is. I'm going to stop it right there. Okay. Otherwise, I get in trouble. I didn't take my medication today, so, you know, yeah. All right. Boasting. Boasting is exaggerating or talking about something that you are or something that you have. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not just talking about what you have or what you are, but you embellish it to make it more than you are. Forgetting that the Bible says to us that we should think of ourselves with sober judgment. Sober judgment. Considering others better than ourselves. Now, if you are a boastful person, you can never do this. Ever. Because you are always looking at yourself better than anybody else. And when you are in that mode, your sense of self-righteousness shows up. Pride. Same thing. Pride is being so boastful and arrogant. All these three things that the scripture mentions that love is not makes us understand that if you want to exercise your sense of love like God is, yourself has to die. If Daniel, the self Daniel, does not die, there is no way I can get rid of envy, boasting, and pride. No way. Because I will always stand in my way. And if you have these three things, you will always dishonor people. You will always put people down. Question for you. At your jobs, how often do you talk good about your coworkers? How often do you say something positive about your spouse? How often do you look for the good in other people? It is so easy to find faults with people. Guaranteed. Listen, if you're looking for something bad about me, just hang out with me for 2 minutes. You will have a list. It's not difficult to find. But finding the good in other people, it takes effort. You have to look for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if you are envious, if you are boastful, if you are proud, you will not have time for that. You will always dishonor others. You see, love protects people. Are you so quick to throw your spouse or your friends or your brothers and sisters under the bus? Love is not self-seeking. Everything is about you. Everything is about Daniel. Sometimes when Wendy is upset, I'm like, did I do anything? She'll be like, Wendy, Daniel, it's not about you. I have to learn this all the time. Everything is not about me. The world does not revolve around me. And it does not revolve around you too. Love is not self-seeking. If you do not dishonor people, or if you dishonor people and you are self-seeking, you have these rules that you make in your mind for people to live up to. And when they don't meet your expectations, you get easily angered. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you someone who gets triggered just like that? Someone puts the shoes at the door. Oh, the word is coming. Sorry, I didn't see that. Okay, so. No, I'm just saying, you know, like the slightest things. I mean, if you're getting upset and angry about minor things, what would you do when something big happens? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you wear your emotions on your sleeves? Are you someone who people have to walk around you with shells? Like, if they're coming to approach you, they have to be careful, say everything just right. You know, they have to use the right scriptures, say the right things. Or you are someone who is approachable. If you want to find out whether you are easily angered or not, ask someone if you are an approachable person. Most of the time, people who are not approachable, most of the time, I'm not saying all the time, most of the time, are easily angered. James chapter 4, 1 to 3. You see, love does not keep record of wrongs. This is very challenging. Not keeping record of wrongs, meaning don't bring back the past. If someone does something against you, which we always do, including myself, deal with the issue that is going on right now. If you keep record of wrongs, these are some of the phrases you will use. You will always da da da. This is what you did da da da. Why do you always? You see those phrases? You are keeping record of wrongs. Love does not keep record of wrongs. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that God takes our sins and throws them away as far as the east is from the west. Think about it. Those two never meet. If God throws away your sins as far as the east is from the west, why are you throwing your brothers and sisters' sins in New Jersey? You just pay the toll and go grab it. What's up with that? I mean, seriously, man. East from the west. I'm like, man, I threw it in Brooklyn this time. Next week, I'll throw it in New Jersey. I don't trust you. No, man. East from the west. We have to learn to let things go. You understand? We have to learn to let things go. James chapter 4, 1 to 3. Are we there? causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Why do you do what you do as a disciple? Are you sharing your faith, reading your Bible, praying every day, or reaching out to people so that people can know that you are a super disciple? Is that why you do what you do? Do you come to church because you don't want someone to be calling you? Like, hey, Daniel, where are you? You know? Why do you come here? You see, sometimes it is not whether it's wrong or right. It is the motives we have behind what we do. We need to check our motives. Why do I go to work and come home every day? You know, I have to come home every day because I love my wife. And that's what God calls me to do. Do you understand? It is a relationship. Relationships goes up and down and sideways and curveballs and all that stuff. But through all that mess, you need to still come home. That is a relationship. Love is about others, not yourself. Love is always about other people, not ourselves. It says it does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Let me go a little deeper with this love stuff. How often are you able to go to your brother and sister and show them their faults? Or you just walk away and say, I'm minding my own business. Minding your own business is not love. Do you understand? When you see someone walking away from God or not doing what they're supposed to do as a disciple and you keep your mouth shut, that is not love. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is love when you see me doing something that is off the script, like, Daniel, can we have a conversation here? Why did you talk to your wife this way? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Look, it's not about how I respond. It is your responsibility to open my eyes to what I am doing. That is love. But you see, we give ourselves a window out and say, I don't know if it's approachable, or I don't know how he's going to receive this. No. Your responsibility is to point it out to me. That tells me you love me. You know, at that moment, I might be throwing some temper tantrums in. But after the Holy Spirit spikes me back and forth a little bit, I will sober out and I will realize that what you were telling me was the truth. Have we thrown away the love that we have for one another, that we get into each other's lives and help one another out? Or we've just left everybody to their own stuff? You know, whatever goes, you know, no. We need to be in each other's lives. And if we are all practicing love, I will be humble enough, no matter how you say it to me, to be able to listen to what you have to say. Do you understand? Love loves truth and hates lies. See, sometimes we don't blatantly lie, you know, because we know that is no bueno, you know. But we give half-truths. Do you understand what I'm saying? You messed up, and then you go to confess, and then you clean up a little bit. You don't see the whole thing, you know. It's like, what's the deal? God is the one who forgives. Do you understand? It is not humans. God is the one who forgives. The reason why we are told to confess our sins and be truthful about it is so that it will come into the light, so that the devil will not have a foothold in our hearts, because sin always thrives in darkness. That's it. It is God who forgives. In fact, when you make up your mind that you're going to be open about yourself and about your sin and about your flaws, and you've prayed about it, God has already forgiven you. The healing part is when you get open about it. That's where your healing takes place. There is forgiveness and there is the healing. Do you understand what I'm saying? God will forgive you, you open up, you get healed. Do you understand? Now, when we do all these things that I've spoken about, we are able to dwell in the presence of God. And this is the part that the dwelling in his shelter comes in. Love protects. It always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. A dwelling place is a place you stay and you are comfortable and you are relaxed. When we were kids, right, I had rich uncles and stuff. So we would go on vacation, and for the first 2 days, we walk around the house like we don't belong. You understand what I'm saying? Like, everything looks so nice than where I live every day, you know? So you're always careful. You know, don't touch this. This is this amount of money. Don't touch that. This is, even though the place is nicer than where I live, I don't feel comfortable, because that is not my dwelling place. But when I go home with my rusted fan and everything in my house, even though it doesn't look as nice as where I was, when I come here, my sense of comfort sets in, because that is my home, my dwelling place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, my question to you is, where is your dwelling place? Is your dwelling place your job? Is your dwelling place your degrees that you have? Is your dwelling place the amount of money you have in the bank? Which is like $2, but you know. Is your dwelling place who you are? You know what is wrong about all these things I've mentioned? They are all temporary. You think you have a Fortune 100, how do you call that? Fortune 1000 job, whatever, how do you call that? See, some fancy name, you know, Fortune 100 job, you know. Every year or a couple of years, things change. Look, for example, walk around Staten Island. In particular, there is a building down Forest Avenue. Look, that building has been labeled every single fast food restaurant ever known. It was McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts. Things change. Nothing under this sun would ever last long. Ever. That is the nature of things. Do you understand? So if you don't build your love in God, you always hold on to things that have expiring dates on it. You know? You always hold on to temporary things, because that's all you know. But when you grow in your love, you dwell in God, who is always consistent. Even our own families do change. It is better to be in a dwelling of God, because God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. God does not lie. You know why God cannot lie? You know why? I always think about this scripture, God cannot lie. I'm like, hey, yeah, really? Hmm. He cannot lie because his very nature, when he speaks something, it shows up. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God speaks, whatever he says, it shows up. So he can never lie. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because of that, he can be trusted. God has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us. He loves me more than I can ever understand, because he gave up his most precious thing, which is Jesus. If someone is able to give up their son for me, anything else is just pocket change. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you read this scripture, everywhere you see love, put God there and see how it reads. The benefits of dwelling in God's love. I have a few. There's a lot, but I have a few. His shadow is casted over you. God's shadow is casted over you if you live in his love. Do you understand what that means? The scripture says that when Jesus was on earth, when he was walking by and his shadow goes over someone who was sick, the person gets healed. Think about that. So if you live in God's love, his shadow is over you 24/7. Let that sink in for a minute. God's shadow will protect your very existence. Now, I'm not saying nothing bad will happen to you, but everything that happens to you would have to be sanctioned by God himself. No one can touch you except God allows it. Let it sink in. I don't care if you have 2,000 witches in your house. No one can touch you because you dwell in the shadow of God Almighty. Do you know how scary it will be for the devil to just walk in and touch you? Do you know what is going to happen to him? I mean, think about Job. Job needed the devil needed permission to touch Job. Permission. And the flip side to that equation is, whatever the devil is trying to do, thinking that he's messing you up, God makes it work for you. If the devil knew that killing Jesus will bring all this, he wouldn't have done it. If the devil knew the power Jesus was going to get after killing him, he wouldn't have tried it. But he thought he was killing Jesus, man. That guy went down there, came up, and said, okay, death, where is your sting now? How do you like me now? You know? And then all of a sudden, we all show up. The devil will be scratching him like, yo, man, I should have just let this guy walk on water and just leave me alone. You know? If you exist in the shadow of God Almighty, you are untouchable. You see, the shadow of God heals us physically and spiritually. You see, in America, you guys don't believe this very much. But where I come from, before we walk into the hospital, we've prayed for like 5 hours. Because we know the line to see the doctor alone, it's like, the distance from your village to the hospital. Look, people don't make it to the hospital. You have to pray your way to the hospital. You know, but here you have education center in every corner, like Starbucks, yeah, everywhere, you know. So you guys don't really get this. Spiritual healing is real. Physical healing is real. Understand that. The Bible says it, I believe it. You see, sometimes we reason ourselves out of how powerful God is. You know, we reason ourselves out of it. We think we know too much. You know, we think we know too much. So we reason ourselves out. My husband, he's not ever going to change. Yeah, I give up on him. You know, I don't know. But the key to him changing is you going down on your knees. That's the key. But you reason yourself out of praying for your husband. Now, in fact, spouses, how often do you pray for your spouses? How often do you pray for your children and your future spouses? Listen, if you wait till they start dating, it's too late. You have to start praying for them now. Because if you wait till, okay, just saying, you know, I have 3 boys, so prayers are coming. Yeah, I need good in-laws. But do you understand what I'm saying? Dwelling in the love of God or in His shadow is a protection. The devil cannot touch you. He cannot do anything to you. Now, why do I share all this? I share all this because this scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-5 is a recipe of confidence in God. Think about it. Think about it for a minute. Love is patient. Love is kind. All right? Let's put God in there. God is patient. God is kind. God is not envious. God does not boast. God is not prideful. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. If God was easily angered, we will all be gone. Gone! God does not keep no record of wrongs. East and West, remember? Okay. God does not delight in evil. He rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God always perseveres. Think about that. That is our safety net. Dwelling in love, dwelling in the shadow of God is our safety net. If we really get this scripture down into our soul, we will walk on the face of the earth like no one can touch us. Do you understand? But we walk around like defeated people because we do not understand the love of God. We think we have to work to earn it. No.
It is free. Free of charge.
Oh, one lesson I learned when I came to America was nothing was for free. You know, so yeah. But in God, it is truly free. Everything He asks us to do or to obey is for our own good.
You don't believe it? Look at your life without God. Imagine the world without the Bible. Oof.
It would be a scary place.
Scary place.
Brothers and sisters, this scripture, in addition of being a gym for us to go to strengthen our inner man to learn how to love, it tells us more about who God is and why we need to trust Him and why we need to dwell in Him, because He is the very embodiment of love. So if we want to look like Him, that is where the gym comes in. Then we practice who He is. Do you understand? This week, as we go by our day, do me a favor. Write down this scripture on a piece of paper and read it yourself every single day before you walk out of the house. It will do two things for you. One, it will help you know what you need to do to look like your Father. And two, it will help you understand who your Father is. So that you don't just get afraid. Oh, no. You are untouchable, man. Come on now. You are untouchable.